Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We want to talk about Jesus and we want to talk about healing. We're in the month of healing and we're starting the series this morning on healing. And last service we had healings in the house. I had people come to me after the service and said to me, "Oh, when you prayed, this happened." I said, "Why didn't you say that when we were in the service? You come to me afterwards." But you know, that's how it normally happens. But we had a lady whose ankle was totally healed. A lady who walked in with a headache. She was down the front, and she said to me that her headache was here at the back. It lifted immediately during prayer. She was liking when she was out there. She goes, "I've got no headache." This is what happened in the last service. We had people down the front. We prayed for two groups of people, back pain and headaches. We had people who had 80% healing, gone. No pain. They were able to do things that, come on, let's give God praise for this. This is what we're after. So we're going to do some teaching over the next 4 weeks. This is going to be our series. As you can hear, last month we talked on the open heavens. If you weren't around, go and listen. It's on YouTube. On podcast. You can go and listen to them on our website, on Apple. You can get them on the podcast there as well. All our whole series, our whole year. But our whole year is a culmination to this month where we will be going after healings. And I've asked Mark, he's our photographer. You see him running around with a camera, but he's also a good friend and a brother of the church. You've been here a year now, hey?
Yeah,
just over a year. Just so good. It's so good to have you and Sruthi in the house. So, Mark, tell us about your mum.
So in November of last year.
By the way, this is a testimony.
Yeah. So in November of last year, we were expecting my parents to fly to Australia for Christmas and to spend time with us, and we were all super excited for it. Late November, I got a call from my mom, the afternoon, I think. It was morning in India. And she's again, like, very held together typically. But that morning, like, her voice just kind of cracked. And then she just said, like, "Hey, listen, I'm sick." I was like, "What do you mean? Like, what's been happening?" And then she said, "I've been doing, like, you know, a bunch of tests. And I've got breast cancer. I just got diagnosed with it. I got the results this morning. So she said, I have to go in for surgery immediately. They found the cancer in a lot of her lymph nodes. In her lymph nodes. I think it was a high percentage of lymph nodes that it had reached. Yep. So it wasn't looking very good. So she had surgery. She had chemo, radiation, went through the entire thing. And it was a difficult process. But the moment I heard about it, I think that next Sunday, I was like, you know, in front over here, because I think you call for people to come and get prayers for healing. And I was just like, okay, God, I'm just going to stand in the gap for my mom. Yeah. She's
so mom's
in India.
In India.
Yeah.
You're here, come down to the altar.
I came down to the front, and I remember, like, I was obviously broken. Yeah. It's very difficult to go through that when you're not physically there with them. I just came to the front, and I was like, God, like, you know, I really need a breakthrough. I really need you to just kind of, like, come through for me. And I'm just going to stand in the gap for her. So did that a lot of times, shared with our life group. Our life group was incredible. Again, just a plug for life groups. If you're not in a life group,
come on,
please join a life group. It's just like, you know, like...
It's your family.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. So shared it with everybody in our life group. And, you know, they were praying for us as well. So she finished her treatment at the end of June this year. And then about 2 weeks ago, she needed to go in for her PET scan to see if all of the treatment had actually worked. So she went in. But the day before she went in, she was praying, and then she just kept hearing the word perfect. And she told me, she's like, "I don't know, God's just saying perfect." I was like, okay. So she goes into the doctor, finishes with the reports, finishes the PET scan. And the first thing the doctor says after looking at it was, "This is a perfect report."
Like, come on, let's give God praise. A perfect report. What does that mean? Yes. Interpret that.
Yeah, so just like complete like healing. Like
complete there was, healing.
Yeah, complete healing.
Nothing said, in like, the lymph nodes.
Yeah, he said you couldn't have asked for anything better than this.
Do we realize? Come on. This is amazing. Yeah. This is amazing. So how do you feel?
I feel amazing. And for me, my thing is like, you know, I think like previously, like when people would say stand in the gap, I would stand in the gap, but I didn't have the faith for it.
Yeah,
it was always like, yeah, I've just got to do it because I know that they're there. And I told them I'm going to be praying and that's it.
Yeah.
But then like now, like it's completely changed the way I look at it, where I'm just like, if there's anybody with anything, I will stand in the gap for them and I will pray for
them.
And it's just like, you know, increase my faith.
Come on. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we're going to pray. Can you just stretch out your hands? We're just going to seal this healing. Father, we just thank you for Mum back in India. We thank you for the healing that she has received. We thank you that you heard the cries of your children, Father God. You heard the cries, and Lord, you did not wait. You answered. We thank you for a perfect result. Father God, we seal that perfect result with the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that this testimony, Lord, will inspire many more to come to the altar, to stand in the gap, even for those who are thousands and thousands and thousands of kilometers away, or just the neighbor next door, Lord God. May we be your hands and feet, and Lord, may you release heaven, and may heaven invade earth in everything, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mark. You're amazing. Come on, let's hear it for Mark. Fantastic. Fantastic. What a good segue. Good segue into healing. Testimonies are important, as you know. Why are testimonies important? Because testimonies help us hear the promises become a reality. You see, it's good to hear testimonies because we need to know that healing is not just something of the past. It is God's promises for all believers today. Amen. Have I got an amen? We are called, you and I, anybody who is a believer, is called to embrace and exercise this divine gift in our lives daily. Daily. You see, healing is one of the treasure troves, and you and I have the kingdom keys to that treasure trove. Remember last week or the weeks before, I was talking about the open heaven. I was talking about the fact that we have over 7,000 promises, each one a key to open a treasure trove. This is one of those keys that you and I have. Why are you saying that, JJ? Because our scripture that we have is Mark 16, verses 17 to 18. And I'm reading this from the American Standard Version. It's going to be on the back. It says these, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe." Anybody in this place that believes? All right. Not everybody raised their hand. I'm concerned. That's better. "All these signs shall accompany them that believe." The pressure is on. "In my name they shall cast out demons." Mm-hmm. "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, cockroaches, spiders, and all of the rest. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no ways hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Everybody in this place that is a believer, you shall lay your hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. It's not debatable. It's a statement. The Passion Translation says, "And they will lay hands on the sick and heal them." That's a bit controversial, but you'll understand it a little bit later. It is your job and my job to heal them. All right, in the New King James Version, "They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." Not maybe, not perhaps, not if they jump through hoops. The scripture says they will recover. Revelation 101 for all believers is that we can be confident of two things. The first is the sick will be healed. And the second, you and I play a role in the healing that needs to be released. Amen. Don't go quiet on me. It's only getting more out here. Healing is in the Old Testament. Healing is in the New Testament. Let's look at the Old Testament first. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. It says this, "Surely he has borne our griefs," in brackets, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, "and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment," in brackets, "yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy." Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Has Jesus been sacrificed or is he going to be sacrificed? He has been. He has already been on the cross. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and we are made whole. This is a prophetic passage that speaks of the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus and his sacrificial death. The phrase, by his stripes, refers to the physical wounds inflicted upon Jesus during the scourging and the crucifixion. The Hebrew word for stripes is chabura, which means wounds or bruises. The word healed comes from the Hebrew word rapha, meaning both physically healing and restoration of health. That we are talking about here, folks, is encompassing spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. We're not just talking about physical. It's spiritual, it's emotional, and physical, which leads me to my next phrase, made whole. That the last word of that passage is healed and made whole. The phrase made whole emphasizes what? It emphasizes the completeness of healing that Jesus provides. Jesus does not provide half healing. He provides complete healing, completeness of healing that Jesus provides. It signifies that the work on the cross brings not just the partiality of healing, but total restoration, which affects every area of our lives. You see, healing is a promise. I'm going to repeat it. You're going to hear this a number of times. Healing is a promise. It's a promise from God. It is a key of the kingdom. It's a key where Jesus' atoning work on the cross has made way for us to be restored in every area. So where sin and sickness and suffering have come and caused damage, guess what? His promise of healing comes to restore that area. Doesn't matter what the area is. An example of healing in the Old Testament is in 2 Kings 5. I'm just going to read it to you. You can go and study it a little bit later. But there's a man, Naaman. Naaman is a commander. He's a commander of the army of the king of Syria, and I'm reading the scripture. He was a great man, a mighty man of valor, but then it says this, but he was a leper. He was a leper. He was a commander of the army. He was a great man, he was a mighty man, but he was a leper. In other words, he had an illness. He had an illness. And so the king goes and the king wants to send him so he can be healed. And he sends him to Elisha the prophet. And Elisha doesn't go out to him. Elisha sent a message to him in verse 10, a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh shall be restored and you shall be made clean. Does Naaman do that? No. Naaman chucks a tanty. He throws a wobbly. He goes, you know what? I'm not for this. At least the prophet could have come out. He could have come out himself and spoken to me and waved his hand around over the area and healed or restored the leper. I'm not sucking this out of my thumb. This is in verse 11. But then in verse 13, it says this. He's chucking a tanty. But some of his servants came and speaks to him and says to him, O king, O honored one, think about what is happening. They speak sense to him. And in verse 14, we hear and we read, then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, as the man of God had said, and his flesh was restored like that of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. Sometimes God doesn't heal the way we want him to heal. Sometimes God doesn't come forth like we think he should come forth, but doesn't deflect from the fact that he is a God who wants to heal. And you're going to hear this. So when we go for healing, when we trust for healing, let's not try and put God in a box. Naaman tried to do that, But God had other plans. He still got his healing. Let's look at the New Testament. The scripture that I want to look at this morning is Matthew 8, verses 16 to 17. I'm going to read it to you from the Passion. It's going to be at the back. That evening, the people brought to him many, say many, many who were demonized, and by Jesus only speaking a word of healing over them. Whoa, stop. And by Jesus only speaking a word of healing over them, they were totally set free from their torment. He only spoke a word of healing. I love the simplicity of it. Only spoke a word. He did not scream and shout. He did not yell. He spoke a word of healing over them. And they were totally set free from their torment. And everyone, say everyone, everyone who was sick received their healing. Take note of that word there, because I'm going to touch on it a little bit earlier. Their healing. In doing this, Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which was, he put upon himself our weaknesses and he carried away our disease and made us well. You see, the passage is powerful because it is where Jesus comes and fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah 53, which we just looked at. We've got to note that there's 700 to 750 years between when Isaiah prophesied that prophecy and the fulfillment in the life of Jesus as described in this Matthew 8. 700 to 750 years. But there in the Old Testament and now in the New Testament, especially in the New Testament, we see that healing is part of God's plan. Healing in the New Testament is part of Jesus' nature and mission. We know that one of God's names is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha means the God who heals. Rapha means to restore or heal. Jesus does not only come to save us from sin. Jesus does not only come to restore us back into relationship with God, but he came to restore us back to the original initial design of complete wholeness, not 95%. We're talking about 100% of wholeness. You see, healing was a part of Jesus's ministry, demonstrating back then that there is an open heaven and the kingdom of God is accessible to come into our world and to bring forth on earth as it is in heaven. Healing was a major part of Jesus' ministry. Way back then, healing is still part of Jesus' ministry right now in this place. You see, throughout the Gospels, Jesus is portrayed as the great physician. Throughout the Gospels, we see that his mission is not only to heal physical ailments, but also spiritual brokenness. Where do you get this, JJ? Luke 4:18, Jesus quotes Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That word heal is this: to cure, to heal, to make whole, to free from errors and sins, to bring about one's salvation. You see, his mission, church, was not just about salvation, but holistic healing, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Jesus' healing actions on earth is the fulfillment of prophecy that was prophesied in the Old Testament. And the scripture that I want to have a look at now is Matthew 4, 23 to 24. And you'll see on the board that I have got writing in gold. The writing in gold is what I've added. Because when you read this scripture, take a photo, go and chew on this over the next couple of days. When you read the different meanings, the Greek words and the different meanings of these words, you get a bigger picture, a better picture of the bigness, the majesticness of what Jesus did. Let's read. Jesus went about all Galilee healing all. That word all is pus, which is all, any, every, the whole. Healing all kinds of sicknesses. The word sickness is nousis. Disease, infirmity, and sickness. And all, there's that word again, kinds of diseases. Take note, sickness, disease, and there's another word, sick, they're different.
They're different words. They've got different meanings. Have a look up there. This word disease, all kinds of disease, is malakia, infirmity, debility, bodily weakness, and sickness among the people, and they brought to him all sick. Look at that word. Different word. Different word. Amiss, diseased, evil, grievously, miserably, sick, sore. People who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, torture, torment, acute pains, and he healed them. Look at the word healed. Healed is therapeo, to serve, to heal, to cure, to restore to health. Wow. Say wow. That is wow. That is pretty awesome. This is the Jesus whose body was broken for you and me. This is the Jesus whose blood, that Josh, by the way, did an amazing job, amazing first time on the stage behind the pulpit that shared communion. Great job. But like Josh shared, this is the Jesus that shed his blood, that sealed that new covenant. And that is what he did. Wow. He went about all of Galilee, healing all kinds of diseases, all kinds of sicknesses, all the sick, people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and he healed them. You see, Jesus' life illustrates his heart for healing, his compassionate and powerful response towards people's desperation is what drives him to heal. Jesus didn't heal to show off power. He healed because of his love and compassion for people. And you know what? He did it then, and he still heals today. We heard of the testimony of Mark's mom. We heard the testimony of the headaches. We heard the testimony of the back. We've heard the testimony even today of an ankle. Next week, Sunday, we have another amazing testimony where God has radically healed a lady who has been part of the East family. Be here. Be here. Be here. Bring the sick next week. Bring the sick. We will be going after healing. Real healing service. Here's a question for us all. Question for us all. Do we bring our healing needs and the healing needs of others to Jesus, believing, truly believing that he is still the healer? Do we? It's a good question. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. We should. We should be doing that. We should be bringing our healing need to him. We should be bringing those who need healing to him, but we don't. Why? Because of the misunderstanding that we have of healing. You see, the misunderstanding of healing leads to a lack of faith. A lack of faith leads to a lack of action. A lack of action leads to a lack of obedience, which robs us of his abundance. Remember, I said this, that your obedience is the key which unlocks the abundance. I said this last week. I've said this. I'm going to be saying it so many times today. Misunderstanding of healing. We are robbed of the abundance because the misunderstanding of healing leads to the lack of faith, which leads to the lack of action, which leads to the lack of obedience, which robs us of his abundance. John 10:10, Jesus said, I come to give you life and that in abundance. We should all be living in abundance. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, we should all be living in abundance in all those areas. And I'm not just talking about monetary. I'm talking about your health. I'm talking about your wealth. I'm talking about every area because that's what Jesus came to bring healing for. This brings me to my third point, which is this: prayer and faith release healing. You see, people cancel themselves from praying for healing because of a lack of faith. Let me expound. I've asked people when we've been down the front or in other prayer lines, I've asked people, come and pray. Why don't you come and pray? And I've had these responses. I have no faith. Or no, Pastor, I can't pray because I haven't got the faith you have. That's a lot of hogwash. That's a lot of rubbish. That is a lie from hell. May I suggest this? Why you think you have no faith? It's because you think, you believe you are the one who has to heal that person. You think that the healing of that person lies on you. The responsibility of the healing lies on you. It's That's a lie. That is a lie. You and I don't understand our role. So let's smash that lie. Let's get the truth. You see, you are to pray, but Jesus is the one who heals. Pressure off. Yeah, I like that one. Good response. The pressure is off, people. You are called to pray. You are called to lay your hands on the sick and heal them. But he does the healing. It's through his power. It's through the stripes that wounded him that we have healing. The healing is there. The healing is there to access. We have to understand our role, which brings me to the second truth. The second truth is this. Jesus wants everyone healed. He's not a God that I heal some, I don't heal others. I've heard it so many. And I believe this once upon a time. You know, God chooses who he wants to heal. That is the biggest lie that the church believes. Because when you start thinking that way, guess what? You deny what Jesus did on the cross. You deny the fact that he was smashed. He was whipped to smithereens. His body was so broken that his ribs showed, his guts hung out. You deny the fact that he was so mutilated by the whipping, the cat of nine tails, and then still walked the Via Dolorosa and hung on the cross. You deny the fact when you think that he heals some and doesn't heal others. Because the scripture that I'm reading says to me that through the wounds, that the stripes that wounded him, we have healing. We are healed. We are healed. That's you are healed. I am healed. Any person that comes to him is healed. That is key. We'll talk about that later. The only difference between then and now is this. Back then, Jesus walked on the earth. But now God lives through you and me through the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He lives in us. That is the difference. John 14:20 says, I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. This means, wait for it, here it comes. Here it comes. You ready? God now heals people through believers. Does that include me? Andre, it includes you. It includes every single one of them. If you put your hand up and you are a believer, guess what? God heals people through believers. Believers who are obedient to the word. Believers who step out in faith. Believers who join with heaven and unlock the promises of God and release them over that sickness or that situation. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. You are a believer. You will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. You will lay your hands on the sick and heal them. That is a command that has come from God himself. He heals, he uses you to heal. I want to say this. He is a God that can do anything, but he chooses to use you. He chooses to use you. He chooses to use me. You see, abundance is unlocked by obedience. Your obedience of laying hands on the sick unlocks the healing that Jesus released. The healing is there. Jesus heals. The healing is there. But your obedience, walking across the room, laying your hands on the sick, you are being obedient. Obedience unlocks the abundance. Obedience requires faith. You need obedience requires faith to walk across the room and lay your hands on that person. Obedience requires faith. And you know what? Faith is very crucial in every believer's life. In every person who sits here, faith is crucial in your life. And so it is with healing. Faith is essential in healing. 18 times in the New Testament, Jesus told people, your faith has made you well. Faith is crucial. But let me define faith. You think, faith, what is faith? I can't remember that scripture. Let me give you a very simple explanation of what faith is. Are you ready for this revelation? this revelation is going to knock you off your socks. This revelation is one word. Faith is one word. Expectation. Mull on it. Mull on it. You see, because when I read scripture, all who were healed came to Jesus expecting him to help. Faith. Expectation. Expectation for him to help. They didn't have to do anything to get his attention, people. They already had his attention because they came to him. And because they came to him, Jesus was moved by compassion and their faith, and he healed them. Scripture. Expectation. Expectation. They came. It's not one person that Jesus healed, and we'll unpack this next week. Not one person that Jesus healed that did not come to him. Every person who was healed by Jesus came to him. He did not go around looking for somebody to heal. The man at the pool of Bethesda. There were how many of them standing trying to get into the pool of Bethesda? But it was the one that called out. Jesus didn't then go, okay, we're going to have a healing meeting, people. Healed, healed, healed. Just the one. All of them had a need. Expectation. Mark 5, 24 to 34, the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years, she's struggling with the issue of blood. She presses through the crowd and says she touches the hem of his garment, thinking she'll just touch and then she will run. But guess what? Jesus knows at that point in time that there's power that has been released. And he turns around and said, who touched me? The disciples are like, are you crazy? There's so many people here touching you. He goes, no, there was one that touched me. One that was desperate enough to push through and touch me. And she is in fear and she trembles and she comes and she tells him the truth. And he says to her in verses 34, Mark 5, 34, daughter, your faith has healed you. Expectation. If I just touch the hem, if I just touch the hem of his garment, expectation, people. In Mark, in Matthew 12, 9 to 13, there's a man who is sitting there, and God and Jesus says to him, stretch out your hand. And as he's obedient and in faith, he stretches out his hand, and the shriveled hand becomes to normality. Obedience and faith. Expectation. He spoke, I do. John 9, 1 to 7. Another man, he's blind. Jesus goes, mud on his eyes. He then says to him, go to the river, wash the mud off your face. And guess what? In obedience and in faith, he makes his way down to the river with expectation that when he washes that off, guess what he's going to see? And what happened? He saw. He saw. Luke 17, 11 to 14, there's 10 lepers. The 10 lepers, and Jesus comes away, and Jesus says to them, go and report to the priests. And they're like, go and report to the priests? And so they turn around, and the scripture says to us that on the way to the priests, they receive their healing. Obedience, faith, expectation. It's what we need. You see, obedience, faith, and prayer are crucial in the miracle of healing. Mark Balachander, his mother had prayer. His mother had prayer, but she still received her treatment. Hear what I'm saying here? Doctors are good. Doctors are on the medicine. It's okay. You know what? Because sometimes you go, but if I take medicine, I'm taking the power away from God. No, you cannot take the power away from God because the healing has already been released. But there is wisdom in all of this. Mark's mum goes, she has prayer, we're praying down. She has her children crying out. She has us crying out. God's got a lot of people whinging in his ear for her healing. He hears our whinging. Guess what? She goes for treatment. Then she goes and something that is not normal. When the cancer gets into lymph nodes, guess what? That is like in, this is not good. But she gets, this is a perfect report. Expectation, people. Expectation. Obedience is crucial. Prayer is crucial. Faith is crucial. But it all comes and stems from the second promise. And that is that we need to know that Jesus wants to heal all. Not no. It's got to be here. We've got to know because we know because we know. He wants to heal everybody. That is who he is. You see, as you pray for yourself or as you pray for someone else, don't question if you've got enough faith or not. Because you know what? Faith does not look at itself. Come on. Faith does not look at itself. Faith doesn't look around to see if there's enough faith in the room. Faith doesn't look to see if the music is good and the lights are good. Faith does not look around to say, okay, Pastor JJ, you come and pray because you're mature. No. Faith stands strong. Faith stands strong and looks to Jesus. The healer. He calls on his name, the healer. You see, when faith is the one who comes expecting him to help, that is faith. 1 + 1 = 2. I shared this last week or the week before. 1 + 1 = 2. God's promise plus your obedience equals the miracle. God's promise plus your obedience, your involvement, whatever you want to call it, equals the breakthrough. God's promises is 7,000 of them, plus you getting involved there, being obedient to what he is saying, results in heaven invading earth. We play a role, church. We play a role together. Ministry leaders, I want to talk to you. People who come down the front. And anybody else who's going to go be praying for people. As people come down to the front, they are coming to ask Jesus to help them. They're not coming for you to pray for them. They are coming to ask Jesus. We have to shift the mindset that these people who come for an altar call are coming to Jesus with their problems. They're coming to Jesus with their concerns. They're coming to Jesus with their requests. What are we doing? What are we doing as ministry team? We are just taking them to Jesus. We are taking them and laying them before him and saying, Jesus, you're the healer. Jesus, you are Baal Perazim, God of breakthrough. Jesus, you are the one that parted the sea, parted the waters, do a miracle in this life. You, that's all we're doing. That's your role. That's my role. That's our role as believers, not only ministry team, that's our role. We allow the love of God to break the strongholds. We allow the love of God to heal the brokenhearted. We allow the love of God to heal the sick. We allow the love of God to raise people back to life, raise the dead. We allow the love of God to cleanse lepers. People, it's time that the church starts raising dead people back to life. We're not wishy-washing about, let's just pray for a little bit of pain in the neck. No. Let's get down to the morgue. Let's get into the hospitals. Let's clear the hospitals out because the world is out there and the world at this point in time is looking at the church that is powerless. No, we are powerful because the Spirit of God is upon us. And the Scripture says when the Spirit comes upon us, we will receive power. Anybody here received the Spirit of God? Be truthful now, because you've received the power. You have the power. Holy Spirit is the power of God. It's time to empty the morgues. It's time to empty the hospitals. It's time to raise people out of the wheelchair. At Awakening Australia, as you can see, I'm passionate about this, and I'm not apologetic about it. But at Awakening Australia, there was this guy that had not walked, I think it was for 15 years. He was in a wheelchair. He walked. Everybody's jumping and dancing and screaming and hollering. Me too, bawling my eyes out. That's just one of millions that God wants to do. One of millions. One of millions. There are no formulas, people. God does not have a formula. when praying for healing. There's no step A leads to step B leads to step C. No, no, no. All we need to do is we need to come to the healer. We need to come to Jesus, who paid the price for them to be healed. Wait, wanting everybody healed. The healing is waiting for us. You see, what we need to do when we pray for somebody, we need to have this approach. We need to have this phrase on our hearts. The healing belongs to Him. If I'm praying at this point in time, I'm looking for Josh. I'm praying for Josh, and Josh has got a need. I've got to believe. I have to have this phrase. The healing belongs to Him because Jesus died for him. His stripes release the healing for him. When you think that way, when you get that into your mind, that the healing already belongs to Him, it makes it easier to pray. Because what are you doing? You're not begging God. God, come and heal. Come in. You're saying, God, thank you for your healing. As I come when we pray for the sick, shouldn't be half an hour prayer. Healing is there. Lay your hands. Thank you for your healing. Release it now in Jesus' name. Heaven invade earth. Boom. Test your body. My gosh, time. So here, I finish with this. We owe the person in front of us, beside us, behind us, living next door to us, at our workplace. We owe the person an opportunity to experience the power of God because of what Jesus endured. Numa East, family. This is your call. This is your call to actively participate in the healing ministry of Jesus Christ wherever you are, wherever you go. This is your call. He needs you. Oh, God doesn't need me. He chooses to need you. He chooses to use you. He chooses. He has chosen. He has chosen. May we be a family. May we be a family that comes in every week with the testimony. I prayed for this one and the scales fell off their eyes and they could see. I prayed for this one and the limbs grew back. I prayed for this one and they got out of me. Come on. Come on. I'm trying to stir the faith here because you can. You can. You can and you should. You should. Not the person next to you. If you've got a spouse here, it's not his job, it's your job. It's both of your jobs. You should. No more standing back, withholding from this. No, 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 this is the will of God. I've given you the scripture. I've given you the scripture. I've given you scriptures. Next week we'll expound on this. Next week we'll go places and answer questions like, why do some get healed and some don't get healed? We'll answer that question. Just remember this. Healing has already been released. You have the keys to unlock the healing in everybody's life. It's your responsibility. Young people, it's time. It's time. You too, it's time. It's time. Miracles are normal. This is why miracles are normal. This is why miracles are normal. I feel to pray. Is it all right if we pray for some sickness? I feel to pray this morning, well, this morning at whatever time, not very much sleep. Maybe it's good that I don't get as much sleep because then I'm more on fire, I reckon, eh, Pastor Russ? Anyway, I'll collapse when I get home. But this morning when I was praying, and even yesterday as I was preparing and sitting at the feet of Jesus, I felt led to pray for two things. First of all is back pain. People who have back pain, chronic back pain, who have had back pain for some time. And also for people with headaches. If that's you, then I'm going to get you down the front and we're going to pray for you this morning. We prayed for people in the first service and it was full. The altar was full all the way around. Combination, couple of people with headaches. But being a little bit
vulnerable and transparent is that I had the most difficult prayer that I had, and a lot of this that I'm teaching now, I didn't know back then. But I knew and I believed somehow, this is like in, what, 20 years ago, Paulina, 2018, 20 years ago, when my youth pastor and mentor, the man who helped me through working through the sexual abuse, and 12 years ago, he passes away. He had a heart attack. And I get news of it, and I'm devastated because we were like this. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be on this stage today if it wasn't for him. I get news he's had a heart attack, and I get news that his dad, who's now also going to be with Jesus, was a general of the faith. And his wife, powerful woman. And what happens is that they let me know that they're going to the morgue. They're going to pray for his resurrection. I couldn't be there. I would have loved to have been there. But the same time that they were in the morgue, I was on my knees in Perth. We were living in Perth, crying out to God. Yelling, screaming, interceding, doing everything that I could. 3 hours, 4 hours, nothing. Didn't hear anything back. Unfortunately, we did not get him back. He went to be with Jesus, and he's still with Jesus. Our loss, heaven's gain. That was the most difficult prayer that I've prayed. And I have to confess, I didn't confess in the first service, but I have to confess that I think that sort of like tainted me a little bit in stepping out and praying for the dead. But there's a shift that's happened. Going to Awaken Australia, something, I'm very passionate about this. But the second most difficult thing that I prayed for, I was in Gold Coast, and I was invited to go and pray for a person, a young man who was fighting motor neuron disease. Now, Pauline and I have seen a very healthy rugby player who, on the South African team, who was the most gentleman of gentlemen that you could get, be afflicted with motor neuron disease, debilitation, wheelchair, pass away. Devastated the whole of South Africa. I'm called to go and pray for this guy. I went through the whole phase of, I don't know if I've got enough faith. I don't know if I'm the person. Is there not anybody else to go? But no, I went. Myself and an elder of the church, we went. We walk in, and there's the man and his wife and his brother and sister-in-law. And they're looking at me. And all I knew what to do was to do what the word says. This is not very long ago. And I had to remind myself that nothing is too big for God. No disease is too big for God. I had to remind myself as well, over and over again, that it's not me that heals, it's Jesus that heals. All I need to do is I need to lay my hands on and declare, because this thing either speaks life or death. But I had to declare life into the circumstance and the situation. So I lay my hands and I declared life by just saying, be healed in Jesus' name. I've got to confess, there was no physical manifestation. There was no shaking. There was no rolling. There was no laughter. There was nothing. Nothing. But I had to stand strong knowing that He is the God who heals. He's Jehovah Rapha. I had to stand strong in that. So we started worshiping. And when I opened my eyes, I looked, and here's the brother-in-law, the brother and the sister-in-law on their knees, worshiping God. I left out the fact that they were not yet believers. But God was in the room. God touched them.
I'm pleased to let you know that this man is still alive. And his brother and sister-in-law are serving God fervently. Sometimes you are faced with a giant in front of you, in your mind. But to God, it's nothing. To God, it is nothing. So today, if you have back pain, I want you to come down to the front. Any kind of back pain. You might say, if there's a little bit of a tweak, come down to the front. If you are here this morning as well and you suffer from migraines or headaches, I want you to come down to the front as well. I want the back pain people to stand over here and the headache people to stand over there. So if you've got headaches, come and stand on this side. We're going to finish. We're just going to do a corporate prayer quickly, and then we are going to see what God does. See what God does. Come all the way to the front. Come all the way to the front. Come all the way to the front. Headache people on this side. You got both, stand in the middle, brother. Divine healing, come right across the stage, close to the stage, please. Yeah, there you go, come forward, great. No, team are not gonna, stand in the gap. People are not gonna, the team are not gonna necessarily pray for you. Thank you, I'll have that. We're gonna do a corporate prayer. So what I want us to do now, if you've got a headache, you're on this side. If you've got the headache, I want you to test. Where is your pain level right now? Is it a 6? Is it a 4? Is it a 3? What can't you do? If you shake your head like that, does it feel like your brains are swishing around? What is going on? All right, if you have back pain on this side, I want you to test your back. Test, what can you not do? I can't touch my toes. I can't touch my knees. I can't bend to the right. Test what you can't do, because we are going to release the healing of power of God. And the only way to see if when He has healed is for you to test again. To test again. Thanks, Josh. Then also, if you have back pain, I want you to also gauge what is your pain level. Does it tweak? Does it tweak when you get to, what is the pain level? Is it a 4? Is it a 6? 10 is excruciating. 1 is mild. Okay, and everything in between. So you've tested and you know. You've tested and you know. The rest of us, we're not spectators, we are participators. Right, so this is the lesson. This is how we pray. And we're going to teach more on this next week. But this is how we pray. This is how we go. We ask, what is your pain level? They tell us, it's a 6. What is your pain level? A 9. Back where? Lower back. Yeah, lower back. So his pain level is a 9. Lower back. What can't you do? That hurt very much. 9. So he can't move backwards like that. So that is how I gauge, okay, this is where he's at. Right. Then we're going to pray. Right. And then after we've prayed, simple prayer, not begging God. You don't have to convince Jesus to heal. You don't have to convince him that he's a good kid and he deserves his healing. No, no, no. He couldn't care about that. He cares about the fact that he has come down. He cares the fact that he has come to the front. He is moved with compassion by the people that have gone, I will put aside my dignity, embarrass myself, and go down to the front. God is moved. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to test. So every one of you know where your pain level is at. You know what you can't do. So let's just open up our hands. Open your hands as if you're receiving. All right. Everybody with headaches, let's talk to you first. If you've got a headache, what I want you to do is it's like a metal, I don't want to call it a metal crown. It's more like a metal shackle on your brain. Like this. So what I want you to do is I want you to put your hands around your head. Like this. Okay. And then on the count of 3,
Use your fingers, not your like this. On the count of three, I want you to lift that off, but you lift it off with force. Like you don't just go, oh, I'm just gonna take this off now. No, no, when I say three, you are yanking it off, all right? The rest of us, we're praying, all right? So right now, I speak to these headaches, I speak to these pains. Keep your hand behind your head there, like that, yep. I speak to these pains, and I say that you no longer are going to come and steal, kill, and destroy. And right now, at the count of three, when we yank this metal shackle off, all pain and all headaches is gone in Jesus' mighty name. So at the count of three, are you ready? One, two, three. Yep. Test. The rest of us are praying. Any difference? A little bit? Difference? No? Yeah, a little bit? Difference? Yours is different. Okay, every month. Okay, great, we'll go. Still stiff? All right, let's pray again. We're gonna pray again. Where the pain is still, what's your pain level? What was it? 4 to 1. Can we give God praise? Come on, can we give God praise? Your pain level. 3 to 4. It's about a 2. All right, and you? You still got it. It was a 7. What's it now? Four, 7 to 4, right? We're going to pray again. Jesus, pray twice. Yours is gone. Yours is gone. Come on. Come on. Let's praise God. And you were in tears. What are you experiencing?
Nothing can move my neck.
And you couldn't do that before? Come on, people. Come on. Come on. Come on. How long has this been?
Years.
Years. Years. Years. Paulina, can you come here? Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we need tissues. Good man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that this has been broken for once and for all in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The rest of us also for the month, every month, we're standing in the gap, right? So stand in the gap now. It's not going to happen again. The rest of us, put your hand back on your head and declare this. Declare this. I am totally healed. Because Jesus has released healing in Jesus' mighty name. All right, keep on testing. Right, everybody with back pain. Everybody with back pain, look at me. Put your hand, right hand, on the place where it hurts, if you can reach it. Okay? Your left hand, I want you receiving. Up in the air. All right, left hand receiving. Thank you, Lord. We're now going to speak to this back pain. You've tested, you know. Is there anybody now who's already feeling a warmth? God says there's somebody, some people here who are feeling a warmth flowing. No? Yes? No? Okay, great. Let's go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak to every back and we say, be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father, that the healing power, that this has gone from a 9 to a 0 in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Just keep on receiving. Receive, 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 receive. Thank you, Jesus. Total surrender. Total surrender. Dignity out the window. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Power of God, come. Power of God, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Right, test. 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 Zach, verdict. Test. Still there? Still a 9? You reckon a 9? Anybody experience any healing? Anybody experience anything different? Just give me a wave. Anybody experience anything different? Reduced? Can you put up your hand? Anybody else? Anybody else that's reduced? The pain is reduced. Remember, what we focus on grows. 2, 1, 2, 3. Vera? Yeah? Put your hand up. This is the thing. This is your key. If you go, yeah, what are you siding with? What you focus on grows. Sometimes when we go, okay, it has gone from a 4 to a 3, we acknowledge that the power of God has started working. We acknowledge that the power of God is, so then we pray again. And so the faith grows. Yeah? So if you have a slight difference, raise your hand to me. Right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6. All right. And on that side. Okay, so healing. Backs. All right. Thank you, Lord. Why? What? Who's received healing? Those who've received healing, I want you to put your hand on the person to your left and your right. Yep. Yep. Right. Over here, I need somebody over here. So you, both of you received healing, yeah? Can you come to the end? Can you come to the end there? Come to the end, right. What we're going to do now is we're going to release the healing you have received. You've received healing? Put your hand on him. Have you received healing? No? Back. Who else has received healing here? You've received healing, correct? Yes? Yes? Put your hand on him. All right. Chris, have you received healing? You go on the other side, but you sat in the gap. All right, great. And we got healing there. Is that for a back? For a back as well. All right. So now we're going to pray again. We're going to pray again. We're going to release healing power. Here you go. Right. Cool. Cool. The rest of us are praying. The rest of us are praying in Jesus' mighty name. Come on. Pray in your heavenly language. Father, we come before you again. Jesus, you prayed twice. You prayed twice and there was healing released. Father God, that the eyesight went from blurred to clear. And Father, we release now the healing from heaven that has already been released. We release it on this back and we say, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, well, whoever you're standing for, Chris, in the gap right now, we say, in the mighty name of Jesus, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Paulina, can you come over here and come and lay your hands on that lady? Say, everybody say, I receive the healing power of God in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, test. We're only going to pray twice. Test. How's that? Anybody notice any difference? Any difference? No difference? Is it your back? Fractures? Stress fractures. Okay. Anybody else received the healing that they thought, Zach, how are you going there? No, still the same. All right, cool. So we're going to seal this, all right? We're going to seal this. Next week, we'll continue. Remember as well that the guys that had lepers, the 10 lepers, as they walked, they received their healing. When you leave here, the question is, why do some people receive healing and some people don't? We'll answer that next week. Come back, lesson two. But, still be aware of His goodness. Still be aware of the fact that He wants to heal. You never know. He could heal you this afternoon. I had a lady after the first service that said she came down for healing for her ankle months ago. Guess what? 2 days later, she realized that she didn't have pain anymore. We had another lady as well. She's going to get up next week and testify. She went to Awaken Australia. She walks with a stick. Guess what? She's come back without a stick. All right? This is the God that we serve. How did she realize it? As she was walking, she realized this. Okay. So hold out your hands. Last time. Let's just see what God has done. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the work that you have done. We thank you for your power. We thank you, Father God, that you have moved mightily amongst us. We give you the glory and the honor. No matter the circumstance, Father God, we continue to declare that you are God and that you have released healing in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we receive the healing for every single person. We thank you that there is going to be a testimony of your goodness in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we give you all the glory. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Let's give God praise on them.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening